So I'm just going to talk about a little bit about origin. So I come from a family of engineers. So my grandfather was the engineer of the box tunnel on the Great Western Railway. This is the box tunnel in Somerset. My father was a marine engineer. This is one of his favourite ships, HMS Whitby in Gosport Harbour, Portsmouth Harbour, a Whitby class frigate. I have a nephew who's a world prize-winning. He's a sort of theatrical engineer. He's developed a technique to put images onto large moving shapes, and he won awards for his theatrical work in a play called Zara. And many of you know that my daughter is a Formula One engineer working now for Romeo, for Alfa Romeo Formula One, but used to work for Ferrari. So I'm the black sheep of the family, so as a black sheep, just to show my youth. So, but maybe I still have a little bit of engineering in me, even though I'm not very good at engineering, and I couldn't strip down a mini engine properly when I was seven, much to the disappointment of my father. But so I have a tendency to see problems as requiring solutions, even though it may take some time. So I tend to find that my way I work is that processes tend to be slightly subservient to outcomes. So I like to work a process. And as you know, this is the famous Apollo 13 issue where they had to use the lunar module scrubber to scrub COT from the command module when their own scrubber broke. And most of it seems to be involving duct tape and elastic bands. But it's sort of quite how I work. So I tend to be quite ho happy when I'm a small cog in a machine, if I can get that machine to work better. So I thought I'll go a little bit on my own imaging journey. And we start off when I'm 18 in the Portsmouth Physics Society. And we had open meetings that we were allowed to go to. And this chap, Peter Mansfield, turned up with his exciting new scanner, which enabled you to see the inside of a Mr. Kipling's apple pie. And of course, that scanner was the MRI scanner. He didn't bring the whole scanner. He did bring some apple pies, though, for us. So that was when I was at school. When I was at medical school, I went off to Johns Hopkins, where I found out about the world of nuclear medicine from this chap here called Henry Wagner. That's a very young me, if you want to know who it was. And he is the father of clinical nuclear medicine. And whilst I was there, they invented the spipirone PET scan. So this is one of the very early PET scans using C11 spipirone to look at the basal ganglia. This is actually Professor Wagner's brain, who was the first patient. And now, of course, we have that scan that we do here in the department, which does the same kind of job. Now, why is there a cup of tea? Well, in the Johns Hopkins, they had like a burger bar, and we managed to teach the two people who worked in the burger bar how to make English tea properly. Over the time that we were at Johns Hopkins. And then, but the problem was we were so good at it, is that my wife and I, who went together, end up by having to go and order like 15 cups of tea for the people in the nuclear medicine department who wanted to have English tea at 3 o'clock every afternoon. So after qualification, my first job was as a houseman at Rochford Hospital in Essex. And one of my patients was this gentleman, Ian Donald, who invented basically clinical ultrasound imaging. And this is one of the early pictures. Now, he was an obstetrician, so he was interested in obstetrical ultrasound, but very rapidly he saw the possibilities of using this in different techniques and how to develop cardiac imaging. And he had his first machine in Princess Charlotte Hospital in West London. And they remember shipping it up into a big van and taking it over to the Hammersmith so they could do the first cardiac imaging. Those of you who know my personal medical history know that I ended up having that myself many years later. So I stayed in general medicine and became the district medical registrar for Mid Essex. Now, that was a job which involved looking after four hospitals, well, one in five rota, in the glorious days of being medical registrars in the 80s. And that meant that when I wasn't on duty, I would go down to Malden Hospital, where I would we would have a very leisurely outpatient. And it was traditional for the registrar to with the consultant who did the clinic, to then go and have a nice pub lunch with a half a pint of Guinness or something at the pub that was on the waterfront at Malden. Can you imagine now being able to do that? Now, why have I got this, of course, is because 1987 was the height of Neighbours on BBC One. And as a registrar, it was impossible to start your ward round until after Neighbours, that was only on at lunchtime at that time, had finished. So we'd have to watch Neighbours. And it was the time of the great wedding between Kylie and Jason, or whatever his name is. I can't even remember the name of these people these days. But it was the great thing that you couldn't literally get people out of the doctor's dining room until Neighbours was over. The only day I managed to do it was when one of the Soviet Union leaders died and his funeral was on at lunchtime. That time I could actually start fairly early. So my nuclear medicine journey started in 1988 at the Middlesex Hospital. Now, I was funded by Amersham International. Now, Amersham was originally the radiochemical centre, and it was the first privatisation of Margaret Thatcher's era. And if you remember, she sold it very, very cheaply to try and get the idea of privatisation early. And this was a cartoon about it at the time with the miserable Geoffrey Howe, who was the Chancellor of the Exchequer for Margaret Thatcher. I continued my training in nuclear medicine at Guy's Hospital in the Department of Imaging Sciences. And there we had Professor Mike Macy, who was head of department. And there were two doctors, Dr. later Professor Ignak Fogelman, who was very much involved in bone imaging and DEXA, and Sue Clark, who, when I was her senior registrar in nuclear medicine, she was the president of the British Nuclear Medicine Society. Now, my presence as her trainee was so good, my influence was such, that she very soon decided that she wanted to be a vicar and not a consultant. And she went off to be a vicar in South London. And those of you who know my Facebook page will know that she then became a vaccinator volunteer. And she vaccinated the Mayor of London about 5 weeks ago. And this was one of our machines we had. This was the Maxus. And this was a horrible big beast. And these heads weighed nearly a ton. And when one of them fell off, we had to try and get it back into position. And at that time, they were putting a new MR scanner, and the builders were in, and there was a whole pile of scaffolding poles, and we wrapped towels around scaffolding poles, and 20 of us managed to lift, using levers, this head back into position. So that was not a successful product. My first consultant post was at the Royal Free Hospital in Hampstead. Here's a lovely picture of it. It has a slightly different name. I think they call it Royal Free London NHS Trust, but then it was just the Royal Free Hospital. And my colleague and boss was Andrew Hilson, who invented the Hilson Index for renal transplants. And the first day of research I was really involved with was breast cancer with Santi Parbu, who was our breast surgeon. And at that time I got involved in patient advocacy with Gloria Froelich, who was the vice president of Europa Donna, but also the president of Cancer Kin. So we did a lot of work in terms of patient advocacy and access to imaging. And we were pretty vocal in trying to, for example, to get breast MR up and running as a clinical service. The other area I was involved with was neuroendocrine tumours, and myself and Professor Kaplan, who's in the front row there, we developed the neuroendocrine tumour service at the Royal Free Hospital. And I developed the nuclear medicine side in both scanning and treatment. I'm not in that picture because it's the 20th anniversary picture of the unit, but three of my trainees who went on to become consultants at the Royal Free Hospital are in that image, and they carry on the service after I moved to Cambridge. Now, there's one other little tangent, is that in 2010, I was appointed as a professor of nuclear medicine at the University of Pretoria. And this is a view of the Steve Biko Academic Hospital in Pretoria. This is taken from the corridor going into nuclear medicine. It is named after Steve Biko, who was murdered by the apartheid regime for trying to suggest that everybody, black and white, should be equal, and they were all equal together. He created this thing called black consciousness, and for that they basically killed him. Now, the head of department, academic head of department, is Mike Satege. You may remember he came to give a talk in the forum about 6 years ago. And Professor Vorster is the clinical professor. And they've done a lot of interesting work, particularly using alpha emitters and PSMA to treat prostate cancer. This is one of their patients I was told, was not the king of the Zulus who just died, but another patient. And this patient here, you can see the PSMA, he's completely riddled with tumor. They treated him with 3 rounds of PSMA, and he's almost disease-free on this PSMA scan. And they did one further treatment, and they managed to keep him disease-free for about a year and a half afterwards. Now, because of my links with the University of Pretoria, I became the 114th most cited medical scientist in South Africa, which I think is almost my only real achievement, but never mind. So let's do 31 years in numbers. I've been a registrar or senior registrar in 2 hospitals, locum consultant in 9 hospitals, including one I am at the moment, consultant in 3 hospitals. I was a part-time married woman in 1 hospital. That was a big achievement. I've been a lecturer in 1 university, a senior lecturer in 2 universities, and a professor in 1 university. So what have I done in my life? Well, I've reported 96,000 DEXAs, 58,000 renograms, 50,000 bone scans, 32,000 myocardial perfusion scintigraphies. In fact, today that's 32,008, 30,000 esophageal transits, 25,000 gallium-67 scans, 12,000 VQ lung scans, 10,000 octreoside scans, and 5,000 DAT scans. I'm sure I've done lots of other ones, but I can't really be bothered to count them all up. In treatment, I've treated 2,900 patients with differentiated thyroid cancer, 2,100 patients with hypothyroidism, 1,200 patients for NETs with PRRT, 600 patients with HCC with iodine-131 and Lepidol, 450 radium-233 patients for prostate cancer bone metastasis, 400 old patients with something called iodine-131 MIBG, primarily for neuroendocrine tumor, but also pheochromocytoma. I performed 150 certs with Y90 products, mainly here in Cambridge, and 150 radiation synovectomies. So that's a sort of fairly, that's what I've done. What have I done it with? These are all the diagnostic radiopharmaceuticals I have used. I'm not going to read them all out. The ones with asterisks is where I was either the first person in the UK or the first person in the world to use that particular radiopharmaceutical. I'm just going to show you some examples. This is from the Royal Free. This is some work that we did with an antibody called A5B7 directed against the CEA epitope in colon cancer. And this antibody was a whole human antibody, and it took about a week to actually localize. So this is the first image, about 5 hours. And the metastases are these holes you see in the liver. By 21 hours, it was almost the same activity as normal liver. And by 68 hours, you could see that there was actually increased uptake here, actually within the tumor, and there was less uptake in the liver. But by 68 hours, also enough iodine had fallen off that we could actually also see the thyroid. So that was some of the work that I did. I think where I first met Fiona was interested in looking at functional imaging of breast cancer. And this is work we did with an agent called MIBI. And this was really in the days before we had breast MR. Certainly we had a breast coil on the MR that we had at the Royal Free. So the only real functional method we had was to use this technique where this is a patient with a very dense area in their breast. We couldn't really see what was going on with mammography. Now, because this is transmission and this is emission, it points the same way, but is the same breast. Here you have focal uptake of MIBI at the site of a breast cancer. And this is one of our papers, taken from our papers of 400 patients. So this is a receive operator characteristic curve using a sort of BI-RADS type reporting for mammography, which is the full line here. The dotted line is the MIBI using the same kind of grading. And when we combine the two, we were able to get a sort of 95% sensitivity for about an 85% specificity. So this has demonstrated how we would use these things clinically. Obviously, life has moved on to PET, and this is a patient that who was a professor of histology. Now, that's very important because this patient presented to our NECT clinic, and she had a biopsy from a lump in her neck that showed that she had a neuroendocrine tumor. So we did an FDG PET study, and we did a gallium-68 dotatate somatostatin PET study. And if you look very carefully, you'll see that there are different lymph nodes that light up with different tracers. This is all the same cancer histologically. Being a professor of histology, she insisted we biopsy both an FDG avid lesion and a dotatate avid lesion. And the only thing that was different on her immunochemistry was that the Ki-67 that determines cell division was over 10% when it was FDG avid. And it was less than 1% in the one lesion that was gallium-68 dotatate avid. So this was a demonstration that within the same patient, you can have different clones of the same cancer. Now, of course, the point is that this one isn't going to kill her. It may not even change in 10 years, whilst this was the one we needed to treat. And she was given the appropriate chemotherapy and had a very good response. And we published this with her permission in 2012 in the British Medical Bulletin. So let's come up to date. And this is, I've got to thank Josef Mendochowski for this case. So this is a patient who we had a bone scan with a focal uptake here. And this is a PSMA PET MR showing that in fact, this was not due to degenerative disease, but was in fact due to a metastasis from CA prostate. What about treatments? Well, these are the agents that I have used for treatments. And again, the asterisked ones are where I've been the first person in the UK or the first person in the world to use that particular treatment. And we've obviously published that in various journals. I just give you something which I did when I was back in the Royal Free. We had patients with big liver lesions. This patient was treated with an intra-arterial peptide called Y90 Landratide. And you can see after a single infusion of this treatment, we were able to reduce the size of his right-sided liver metastasis. It was a bit of a randomized controlled trial because the left-sided lesion wasn't treated and that grew, but the right side shrunk. And we published this in Radiology in 2005. Showing that we were able to treat patients with very bulky liver metastases for neuroendocrine tumors with intra-arterial treatments. Well, how about me boring people? Well, here's an example. As everybody knows, I've got about 253 papers, 211 on PubMed, 7,000 citations, 53 book chapters, 7 books. Even I'm getting bored now. Over 600 abstracts, 47 alone in 2001, 605 tweets on my Twitter page for the president of the BNMS, and 33 presidential blogs so far. 400 lectures in over 77 countries, so that's where I've been when I've not been here. So if you want to know where I am, I've been in one of those blue places. So I thought I'd finish off by looking at the future, and probably my future. So here we have, here done in Cambridge, a PET MR with an agent called fluorobetapen, which looks at amyloid related to dementia. And this poor patient has uptaken their cerebral cortex, which probably means that though they're only in their 50s, they're going to get, unfortunately, quite significant Alzheimer's. I haven't scanned myself, but maybe I'll be looking the same. So this is possibly all our futures, both PET MR and amyloid imaging for dementia. So I'd like to finish off by thanking people, Professor Adrian Dixon for asking me to come to Cambridge, Philip Bearcroft, who was the clinical director of radiology, for appointing me, Dr. Balland for letting me actually come and work in nuclear medicine, all the staff in the radiology department for being so welcoming to me, even though I was a nuclear medicine physician and not a radiologist. For HK, Jane Dutton, Joseph and Luigi and Inish for putting up with me each day. And for all the staff in nuclear medicine, PET and DEXA, for all that we've done over the last 10 years or so together. And that is the end of my swan song. Thank you very much.